Now entering Nerdist.com.
Big Pop Fun.
Hi, everybody. I gave Jeff Harlan the week off. I would recommend you listen to the podcast with Jeff. Jeff is very busy and starring actor and voiceover talent, and he's the announcer, the official announcer of the Big Pop Fun podcast. But he's taking a break, as so many people do in the summertime. I just gave him a break. It's actually recording. It's on my computer. But I'm giving the illusion that Jeff comes here to Wilson World to actually announce the thing every week. Hi, I'm Tom. Welcome. Welcome to the Big Pop Fun podcast. Isn't it great to be here? I'm glad that you came. If you're coming back to the podcast, welcome back. If you're new, hey, go back and listen to a bunch of them. Download a bunch. They're free, and they're always a wonderful sleigh ride of enchantment and wonder. Aren't they a magic? Yes, they are magical, though. They are magical. Well, look, welcome back, everyone. I'm not going to make it longer. Welcome to a magical sleigh ride of enchantment and wonder as we cozy up to the fire again and realize, okay, it's July. Then the fire is not particularly cozy. In fact, the surrounding air around me is an oven. So let's use the fire for hot dogs and s'mores and good barbecue chicken. And while we stare into the glowing coals as the sun sets, let's throw into the fire our old resentments and old grudges and our grievances with people we hate. Yeah, we hate them even a little more when we're cranky because it's hot outside. And we just let that stuff burn away. Burn away in the fires of summer, leaving us fresh and clean and reeking of sunblock and ketchup. Yes. The podcast is brought to you by Art. Support artists everywhere you go. Go out to a show. Go see a band. If there are a bunch of young people that are playing music at the local mall or an outside venue, stand there. Stand there for a moment and take in what they have. Sometimes they have a CD, and you could buy a CD right off the street, or go to a museum and just look at paintings. Just look at them. Talk about them afterwards, but just take them in or go to an art show. There are a lot of art shows. I always mention it. I know, but I mention it especially during the summer because there are art fairs and everything where with artists who set up their tents and put up their art. I used to do that a lot. The second most work intensive thing. I once blacktopped driveways in summer in Pennsylvania. That was the hardest, worst thing I've ever done. The second was setting up in a summertime art show, setting up the easy up, the kind of lean to thing, and putting up walls and putting up art and everything. Very, very difficult. So go up to artists and appreciate what they do, whether it's music or whether it's visual art, and just appreciate them and buy a little something for yourself if you can. In fact, can I add something? This podcast. Hey, I've changed up my website. Like, I've done it. Look, I'm not technically savvy at all, as anyone who listens to this podcast can attest. But the fabulous and technically savvy Mrs. Wilson has changed the BigPopFun.com website. You can go there, BigPopFun.com, and see many of my paintings. Paintings that I used to put up in lean-tos covered in sweat in the summertime in art shows. Here's the thing. Here's why I'm doing a little commercial for my paintings right now. And you might not be interested in that. And that's cool. The prices of all of my paintings have been slashed in half or less. Here's why. The prices the prices of oil paintings are somewhat high because A, it takes a lot of time and effort to make an oil painting. Secondly, if one shows in many galleries, the gallery will literally double the price. The commission of an art gallery is many times at least 50. That's 50, not 15, 50%. Now, and as the artist, you think, boy, that's pretty high. I hope people have, but you have to get something out of it because you worked hard to make that oil painting. Well, from 2008 and on, if you see a gallery somewhere in your city, if you walk by one, step in and shake the hands of that proprietor and say, congratulations, I guess you're the last one, because the economic downturn has caused, you know, look, as I said, many of my friends are fine art painters, and I so respect them and love what they do. But the very first thing that even a rich person won't buy during an economic downturn is a painting. They're going to say, hey, we're going to stick with the Nastasia Kinski poster with the snake, and we won't do anything. So galleries have closed left and right, including a number of them that I have had relationships with. So, and on my website, you'd think, well, Tom, why don't you price the paintings the way you would like to price them or whatever? Well, the gallery does not like that. If you're represented by a number of galleries and they have your paintings for X price, and you're telling people, yeah, but you can come to my website and get it for under like half of that, and people do that, the gallery says, why do we exist? Which is what galleries ended up asking themselves anyway in this economic downturn. Not dissing galleries at all. They're magnificent. I love the people at them. I love going into galleries, and I'm bemoaning the fact that so many of them are closing. Anyway, long commercial, go to bigpopfun.com and check out some paintings. I even have huge ones that are really fun paintings that I will take off the stretchers, because that would cost seven Googleplex of dollars to send to you. So I'll take them off the stretchers and roll them up and send them away. Check that out. Also, check out my book, The Masked Man, Tom Wilson, Amazon.com. That's all I'll say about it, except people are liking it. My voice for this solo podcast, as you can hear if you're listening carefully, is ravaged. I don't have my master. Yeah, I don't have any of that stuff, because I had a rather long voiceover session yesterday on a thing called Pig Goat Banana Cricket. Yes, literally, I think it was 2 years ago, literally, something like that. I did a little tiny short for the people at Nickelodeon and animators for a thing called Pig Goat Banana Mantis. 2 years later, they call and say, yeah, we'd like to do a pilot of the show, of that short that you did, and we're calling it Pig Goat Banana Cricket. And I said, it was Pig Goat Banana Mantis. And they said, well, now it's Pig Goat Banana Cricket. I said, Mantis has been fired? No, but we're just not doing Mantis. Cricket is different. So I guess Cricket, the concept of it doesn't seem like it's that different. Since we're anthropomorphizing all the insects anyway, we could just make their personalities what we would like them to be. So it doesn't, but I guess they liked Cricket better. So now it's called Pig Goat Banana Cricket. And in that, yes, I came back from that session telling the fabulous Mrs. Wilson, my voice is completely shot because I've spent hours and hours playing a psychotic banana. Not a lot of people at their jobs can say that, you have to admit. I actually did, and it was true, that I've lost my voice playing a psychotic banana who screams and who's just, hey, it's funny. And if it ever sees the light of day, it's a Nickelodeon show, and if it ever sees the light of day, I recommend watching it. Because a lot of great actors are on there, and it's okay. Enough of a commercial for Pig Goat Banana Cricket. Yeah, it's as unusual as you would think it is, and I play a psychotic banana. Hey, say no more. Right after that, yeah, I did go to the Mo show after that. I had to go off from my psychotic banana and sing at the Meltdown Comic Store there on Sunset Boulevard. I've told you that before, I know, that the Meltdown Comics, they're on Sunset, what is it, 7500 block of Sunset. It's a comic book store, and it has the action figures, all kinds of things, and t-shirts, so go there anyway. But it's such an unusual thing. But it happens throughout the country and throughout the world, I suppose. There's just kind of a big space behind the store. People say, hey, do you mind if can we set up microphones and like do a show from there? And it becomes one of the really hip venues in Los Angeles doing shows. And I've done the Meltdown show there, and I've done many, many different live shows there. And Mo Welch, who's a fabulous comedian, does a show there called The Mo Show. And I was in that show, which I had a lot of fun doing. It was sort of an interview show where four people were sitting on a small love seat all together. And we had a ball. Alana Johnston was on the show, wonderful comedic actress. Sean Patton, great comedian. Look up these people on the agenda. Why not? Alana Johnston or Mo Welch on Facebook or something. Sean Patton, Ricky Carmona on Twitter. And there was a balloon animal guy. There was a balloon animal. A balloon animal guy was the guest on the show. It felt like, you know, in the 1950s, maybe it was the Ed Sullivan show, because it had lots of fun and a balloon animal guy who had this holster, like an apron that was completely filled with unblown up, those long balloons that balloon animal guys make. And he's getting ready to be on the show as the balloon animal guest to make some balloon animals for people. And he's making this. He makes a sword, and of course, and he makes a chihuahua. And he says to me, "Hey, what would you like? What can I make you?" And I say, "I'd like a monkey inside a heart, one of those things where the monkey's hugging the heart." And there was a 3-second pause, and he goes, "That takes too much time." So everybody else got their balloon, but Ricky decided that mine was hard and he was going to do the show, and maybe he doesn't know how to do it. Anyway, but it was fun to do the Mo show. I did songs on the Mo show, as I love to do. I love to, you know, as you, I guess I've talked about on the pod, at this point in the podcast, can I just say, and I think I've said before, if I'm repeating myself, just fast forward, because I don't know. At this point, I should have kept really careful notes of everything that's going in the podcast, the things I tell, the story, oh, that thing about him, everything. And I should have kept very, very close records. And of course, being me, I haven't. So I just turn this thing on and start talking. So if I've said it before, hey, maybe I'll lie and embellish it, the story, even more, and it'll be even more interesting. So listen to it that way, or just go, yeah, you told me that already, Tom. So fast forward, or, you know, hey, next podcast. But I love to do songs in the shows, because that's kind of how I started in front of people. Well, I started in front of people in the debate team in high school, but let's not go there. I'll tell you about that another time. But I started playing the guitar at church, being ever so earnest, because I was, you know, just kind of an earnest kid. So, you know, before that, before even playing the guitar, which I started when I was about, 16, I played the tuba. As some of you know and some of you don't, I used the tuba on stage as a stand-up comic for about 10 years. But I have to talk about the tuba, because a couple days ago I did an interview, get this, people, with the International Tuba and Euphonium Journal. International. It's not the American Tuba and Euphonium Journal, people. The International Tuba and Euphonium Journal. It's run by, I think, a guy named Stephen Maxwell at Kansas State University, who's a tuba player and a lover of the tuba, and who had seen me on The Tonight Show years ago or whatever, and contact me. I have been a member, it's since kind of disbanded, but the Tubists Universal Brotherhood Association, the TUBA, for years and years. Even when I was a teenager, I was a TUBA member, and I got the TUBA journal, and I read about great tuba players of the past. I'm not kidding about this. And I was very into playing the horn, and I played tuba in high school, and I was in the jazz band playing tuba, and we did an Austrian concert tour, where at the first gig of the Austrian concert tour, I actually played percussion because my tuba was sent to India by accident, but I thought that was exotic. You know, the tuba came back. It had no decorations it had gone to India. So I like that. Anyway, but years later, many, many years later, I'm actually contacted by the International Tuba and Euphonium Journal, and I did an interview with them, which was a lot of fun, being a tuba player. And I played they asked me, because they had seen me on The Tonight Show playing the tuba in, I think, 1906 or so. It was a long time ago, but I am one of Johnny Carson. I did the tuba set. You could still, I think, see it on YouTube. It's up there, and I look like I'm 13 years old. But I played the tuba on The Tonight Show during, you know, doing my act, doing the first stand-up set I did on The Tonight Show. Johnny Carson, very gracious man, very nice to me, came up at the end and was, we were, you know, small talk, and he was very kind and said, you know, I think you're the only tuba player we've ever had on The Tonight Show, so congratulations. I interrupted Johnny Carson. I said, well, no, Mr. Carson, I'm the third, I think, tuba player, if memory serves, because I watched the show. And, of course, Roger Bobo, the great international tuba player from the Concertgebouw Orchestra in Amsterdam, I believe it's in Amsterdam, he was a soloist on The Tonight Show. And also, years ago, I'm telling Johnny Carson the story. Years ago, there was a tuba player who was in, it was either a Coast Guard band or maybe the Air Force band. It was a military band tuba player who was stationed in Alaska. And what had happened, it was international news. A whale had swum into a small inlet, you know, a little fishing village in Alaska. And the whale was disoriented and very upset. It could not find its way out of this inlet in which it had swum. And the whale was breaching, you know, coming up and splashing down in the water and just making its sounds, whatever it was doing. It was clear. The whale was very upset at being there. And nothing the townspeople did could help this whale get out of the inlet. It would not follow people. It wouldn't. Whales are not good at listening to reason. It just they had a problem. The tuba player from the military band took a rowboat, put a tuba into the rowboat, rowed out to the middle of this bay. I took the oars into the boat, picked up the tuba, and just started playing. Started playing, you know, the kind of beautiful and a little bit mournful music that the tuba is famous for when it's not being used as a comedic instrument. So he's playing these low, caramely bass notes, and the whale calms down. The whale actually calms down. The whale comes toward the boat, and the whale starts swimming a circle around this rowboat. And the tuba player picks up the oars and quietly rows toward the sea and plays the tuba. And the whale comes towards him, and he rows toward the sea, and the whale comes towards him, and the tuba player in the rowboat leads the whale back out to sea. And he came onto The Tonight Show and played a solo with Doc Severinsen and the NBC Orchestra. And I know this because I was so thrilled I ran to get my dad's clunky cassette tape recorder and I taped it off my TV. And I kept that tape for years and listened to it. And Johnny Carson's eyes lit up and said, I remember that. You're right. So, just for the record, at one point, I corrected Johnny Carson on which tuba players had actually performed on The Tonight Show. I thank you. But I, of course, play guitar as well. Played guitar, and I sang very early on in my illustrious and incredibly mediocre music career. I can't, I don't know if I'll sing today. Well, maybe I'll sing something for a solo one. Yeah, but I love those. Hey, in the early 70s, I loved the really crooner guys with the beautiful voices, Art Garfunkel and those kind of James Taylor, Kenny Rankin. If you haven't seen Kenny Rankin, you must look up on YouTube or on iTunes and download some of this stuff. What Matters Most, one of the truly gorgeous songs that you have to hear Kenny Rankin sing. And I was always a big Kenny Rankin fan and would sing along with the album and try to sing all pretty. Because as I said, before I got into comedy, I was ever so earnest. I was studying acting and I was being serious and I was God's gift to acting. And when I sang, it was in a like that beautiful and lilting style that would just make everyone's hearts melt. And none of that worked out. So, showbiz, just to make money. But Kenny Rankin was a hero. And I came to Los Angeles early 80s. I saw him open for a jazz guitarist, Stanley Jordan. And I'm thinking, Kenny Rankin is opening for him. Unbelievable. And I'm thinking, what kind of guitar does he have? What kind of band will he have behind him? Will he have an orchestra? What will he do? Kenny Rankin just walks out on stage with a classical guitar, with the nylon strings, without a pickup in it. It's not going into the room. It's not plugged in. It's acoustic. And he just brings it out. And it was a pretty big hall. And there he is with just that one, a Shure SM58 microphone, which is just the workhorse microphone of stand-up comics and singers everywhere. It's the microphone that you see with the silver ball at the end of it. I mean, that's the mic. It's like just the Mack truck of microphones. It just works. And he sits down and begins singing. He begins just scatting. I have no voice today, but it wouldn't be that good anyway if I had a voice. But he sang songs. He sang Groovin', I think. He sang, Why My Guitar Gently Weeps. It was unbelievable. And people just went crazy because one guy with just a microphone. Anyway, I'm going far afield of the story today. Sorry, but hey, it's a solo podcast. That's what I do. You know what I mean? I got to play a gig with Kenny Rankin. Somebody called me. It's a benefit for my friend Wendy Jo Sperber and We Spark here in California, a benefit for cancer research and for caring for cancer patients. And she says, Kenny Rankin is doing the show along with me. And I'm thrilled. Maybe I can sing with him. Maybe we can play something together. No, Tom, the same thing I always, don't gush. Don't say that, hey, when I was 15, Kenny, I bought your album and I memorized all the songs. I love your Why My Guitar Gently Weeps or whatever, no, don't say any of that. Just be cool. So I'm sitting in the tiny, tiny backstage of this little theater that we have this benefit for, and it was kind of Kenny to come. Kenny Rankin walks in, guitar case, classical guitar, no wires or anything, and he just says, does anyone have the Lakers game on? And it's the backstage of a theater. There's no TV. Does anyone have a TV? Can we plug in a TV? Does anyone have the Lakers? We got to watch the Laker game, man. While we're doing a show here. Yeah, anybody know? And he's calling on his cell trying to get the Lakers score and everything. Does anybody have one of those things where I could follow the game on a phone or something? Anything like that? We got to see the game. Do you have a TV? Well, there's no TV. But he's a decent guy, but he turns out he's just this unbelievable Lakers fan, but nobody has a TV, but he just wants to see the Lakers. So I know nothing about basketball. I don't know anything about the Lakers. So I'm doing the Saturday Night Live, Chris Farley and Paul McCartney and interview. I'm going, hey, the Lakers, huh? Yeah, Shaq is really good, man. He's big, huh? That guy can really put the ball in the metal thing without even, he doesn't even have to touch the backing, the plexiglass thing of the thing. He just like boom, puts it in, huh, Kenny? Yeah, I mean, I'm doing that. I'm being that guy, and and he knows I know nothing about basketball. But the sound guy comes back and wants to know of his needs. Any needs for sound? You need a plug-in? You need a direct box? And he says, just a mic. Yep. And there, with an SM58 microphone, the workhorse, and no lyrics. He didn't even sing songs. He didn't sing "Why My Guitar Gently Weeps." He just said, you know, he just cut. It was his time, and everyone greets him warmly. And I'm watching from the wings, thrilled, as Kenny Rankin just takes his little classical guitar and just starts and just does that, but changes the tune enough and does it for 4 minutes, and everyone is completely hypnotized. Completely hypnotized. And of course, you know, I'm sitting backstage going, I wasted most of my life following something that I'm not very talented at. But fortunately, Kenny was a nice guy, and he followed something that he was talented at. And he actually passed away a couple of years ago. And God bless the incredibly talented Kenny Rankin. But those are the kind of guys. Those are the kind of guys I was following until college. And then when you don't really have those chops, you really don't have a lot of jazz chords, a lot of that kind of facility with the quickness of chord changes, you start saying, well, I'll be a rock and roll blues man or something. And that, of course, that didn't work out. But, you know, when I was in college, because we went to see a guy. When I was in college. Arizona State University. Let me tell you, hey, best $700 my dad ever spent. I can use those 3 credit hours anytime I want toward any study in any discipline. But I was going to Arizona State momentarily, and everyone took, because I played the guitar and I was singing and I was having fun with it. And everyone says, oh, you have to see Hans Olsen. They didn't pronounce it Hans because it's America and it was Arizona. Hans. You have to see Hans Olsen. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hans Olsen. So finally, I want to see this guy. Who's this Hans Olsen? Oh, blues man. He's authentic. He's got it all going on, baby. He's the real deal. You got to see Hans Olsen if you play the guitar and sing in Arizona. He's the Arizona troubadour, right? So Hans Olsen is playing in Tempe, Arizona, in the lounge of a Holiday Inn. Now, I am at that point, I'm too young. I'm too young to be there. I'm not legally allowed to go into the lounge of the Holiday Inn because you have to be 21, and I think I was 19. So they want me to get in there, and the guys want me to, hey, we got to see Hans Olsen, man. We got to sneak Wilson in. I mean, he's into music. He loves the stuff, man. You got to see Hans Olsen. So they bring me in here, a bunch of the older guys, a bunch of the older college dudes, and I'm laying low. I'm trying to just blend in with everybody, laying low. I'm not drinking because I don't want to get in trouble. I mean, I didn't drink anyway, really, back. I was very, you know, I was not an outlaw. I was an artistic outlaw, but I was an outlaw in no other capacity in my life. But I'm laying low, and Hans Olsen comes out, and I'm ready for the experience, man. And yes, of course, he's a blues man. He's wearing a leather jacket. A leather jacket in Arizona. Now that is a commitment to attitude. That is a commitment to the look. If you're wearing a leather jacket, under lights, inside in Arizona, you're saying, hey, I eat sweat. I don't care. It's going to evaporate anyway. It's a dry heat. Doesn't matter. So Hans Olsen comes. He's wearing a leather jacket, and get this, eye patch. Yes, he is wearing an eye patch. How can you do better as a blues player than leather jacket, guitar, and eye patch? So everyone, woo, Hans Olsen, and they're all, you know, they're all elbowing me in the ribs. Hey, listen to this, and he plays some blues, and look, very good. Very good player, good with the riff singer, and he plays a nice song, an Arizona song about the saguaro cacti across the Arizona land of the mighty saguaro. It's a dry heat, so you hardly feel it, or whatever he was singing. But you know, it was good. And look, if there's one thing blues musicians do very well, it's clearly wear leather, sport an eye patch, and not pay for drinks. So Hans Olsen finishes his saguaro cactus song, and he's got an empty glass on stage. And he's kind of looking around like, hey, anybody got a pitcher of beer out there? You know, the older college dudes that I was with had a pitcher of beer. So they elbow me like I'm supposed to go. Wilson, go, take him the pitcher. Go up there. And I'm not supposed to be there. I think like the cops, you know, I'm 19 and I think the cops are going to raid the place and I'm going to be arrested any minute because I'm 19 in the lounge of a Holiday Inn. They go, no, go up there. Get him some beer. Look, pour him a beer, Wilson. Go up there. So fine. I take the pitcher of beer, which I'd never held before. And I walk through the crowd of, I don't know, 8 or 10 people, but I don't want to be seen by the managers of the lounge at the Holiday Inn, and he's under a spotlight. So I'm sort of standing outside the spotlight part. And so Hans Olsen takes his empty glass and kind of leans out for me, and I have to lean over some people. And, I didn't know how to do it. So I pour the beer like kind of straight out of the pitcher. And let it, I'm not far enough, so I'm reaching, and I give him a glass of foam. You know, the whole thing foams up, and it's white. And I give him foam because I'm leaning to, I didn't know how to do it. And the crowd, all 8 to 10 of them, they all moan their hatred and disdain. And the guys I'm with, Wilson, what are you doing? Oh, nice move, everybody. That's Hans Olsen, dude. In front of everybody, you know, Hans Olsen, one-eyed Arizona troubadour of the West. So Hans Olsen, he leans toward me, and he kind of lowers his chin and gives me a dirty look from his one good eye. Okay, the beer was free, okay? It was beer. I had walked through people, and I'm not supposed to be here, and I gave you free beer. But Hans Olsen, a one-eyed Arizona troubadour, makes like a point. He makes it into the show of drilling me with the one-eyed look of the eye patch guy. Yeah, he's actually glaring at me with his one non-eye patch covered eye. So I'm standing there humiliated. I'm underage. I'm getting booed, and I'm holding a pitcher of beer, and I think it was just the beginning of sort of being 19 and growing, and I actually think, hey, eye patch dude, you're playing at a Holiday Inn in Arizona, and they don't even give you free beer, okay? Let's face it, with the glare, you're not going to fight me because I'm a big dude and you have no depth perception. And besides, within a few months of this, I'm going to bail on this whole college deal and pick up a guitar myself. So bring it on, Hans Olsen, legendary, you know, Scandinavian one-eyed blues man of the desert. I think he should use that on albums, by the way. Hans Olsen, legendary Scandinavian one-eyed blues man of the desert, because he's still alive. Hans Olsen, he still plays out there in Arizona. Look him up. I'm not kidding. Look him up on YouTube. He's good. He is good, and he is a blues man, the historic Arizona troubadour. And look, I'm sorry about the beer, Hans.
It's Big Pop Fun.
Tom's voice is shot, and it might be wrong, but he's just gonna go ahead and sing a song, even though his voice isn't good. Sometimes on late nights in nightclubs, or, you know, a Tuesday night, it's an odd night, not a lot of people are there, and there's a drunk dude in the back, and he just wants the show to be about him. And starts shouting out, yep, heckler. They have some answer to everything you say, to every song you sing. They have to comment because they want it to be about them. And I've always hated them, really. Although, yes, Jesus tells me I'm not allowed to hate people. So I don't hate them, but I hate what they do. But instead of allowing them to commandeer the show and come back at them with heckler retorts, I decided to write a song about it. And it's a song that almost never gets played because it's almost never called for. But I wanted to approach hecklers in a different way than they'd been approached before. I could certainly do their heckler retorts and do that kind of thing. But I wanted to have an option to use. And I must say, since I've written this song a little while ago, I've had actual reason to use it 3 times. And it's gone well, because you say, I'm not going to argue with you, sir, but I did write you a little song. If you were me and I were you, what would life be like? To exchange our point of view and trade our very lives, you'd be a performer, love and laughter all your days, and I would be an ugly moron yelling at the stage. If I were you and you were me, and we substitute each other, change the way we truly be, opposite sons from separate mothers, you would try to live your life with friendliness and class. And I would be an idiot, and you could kick my ass. It's funny how we'll keep on living lives so separately. Thanks to you, I see so clearly. I'll stay me. It's hard to do that in tune. Thanks for stopping by here at Wilson World. I appreciate it. Thanks. I hope you listen. I hope you tell your friends. And consider subscribing to the podcast. Thanks. Thanks to Emily Wilson for producing. Thanks to Katie, Chris, everybody at Nerdist Industries. Thanks to McPherson Guitars for helping me out on the live show. I'm all over the place, so check me out there. But most of all, thank you to you, Hans Olsen, Kenny Rankin, and our featured players today. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Nerdist.com